Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 7th of February, and I'm recording at 9:25 p.m. in that Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick look here at what happened this week. Well, it's been high drama, certainly in stock markets at any rate. And we saw the early plunge and then the rebound. And Wall Street, just to give you an example, has just bounced awfully sharply in the last couple of days, and it had edged higher for a couple of days before that. But if we look at the major indices in the USA, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has done least well. It's up or has regained perhaps just over a third of the decline it had seen. The S&P 500, however, has gained back half of the decline from its highs. And the NASDAQ looks like it's 100, looks like it's regained about two-thirds of the decline from its highs overall. So certainly very volatile here. And what can we say about that? Well, there's a lot of two-way activity, clearly, and I don't think it's just short covering that's pushed the market up here like this yesterday and today. And I think there's probably a fair amount of high-frequency trading that's involved in this as well, which adds, or can from time to time, add considerably to the volatility, particularly if there's no clear trend. If there's a clear trend down or upwards, then the move tends to be fairly persistent and not volatile. But certainly we have this choppy, volatile environment. Subscribers won't be surprised, I trust, to see that, because it's something that we've warned of and talked about really right from as the year was ending, that January was going to be more problematic, and we certainly know it was. And so I think we'll continue to see that choppy activity. But what else happened here in the short term in terms of this week activity? Well, similar action. We had some weakness in the Asian emerging markets early on, but then they have bounced back quite well here as well. And talking about the week here now. And Asia today, pretty well all green arrows. There were one or two exceptions. And Vietnam, which was such a star performer in January, breaking up out of its long trading range, rallying over 10%. It was down a little bit in here today. Looking at the European stock markets, again, they were good yesterday, and they didn't rally quite so strongly here today, but they were definitely firm. And then picking up the Wall Street, I didn't mention the percentages, but the S&P up over 1%, the S&P up 1.3%, the Dow up a little over 1%, and the NASDAQ, that was up nearly 1.7%. Gains in other South American and North American markets. Ending the week very strongly. Now, long-dated government bonds, they've been quieter here, but the futures prices were up a little bit. That means the yields are down a little bit, and we have the U.S. 10-year government bond is at 2.6, a little above 2.6 on that yield. Precious metals, they also picked up here. A little bit today. Gold's firm, 1267. The silver is back above 20. And just, and again, platinum, also steady, up 8 today, 1383. So that base building activity that I've been talking about is still evident there. And the cumulative commodity index picked up as well. So again, firmness, firmness, firmness there. Okay. So where are we going though? Let's stretch it out. Where are we going as the year progresses? And my answer to that is I think it'll be choppy overall. We have the tapering, of course, that's likely to continue unless something catastrophic happens in terms of the fundamental background, but there's no evidence of that in here at this stage, and it's not something that I would that I expect. Incidentally, the employment figures that came out today, which much discussed, you know, this old statistic du jour, but they were lower than were expected, and the market sold off a bit early on, and then rallied very strongly, and that if tells me that we've certainly, as I was forecasting yesterday, I thought we would see further rally here. A strongish market, which is certainly is in the very short term, has will go up on good and bad news, and equally, a weak market will go down on both good and bad news very often. Okay, now, so as far as stock markets are concerned, I think it'll be continued choppy activity. So I would say that we've lost form in terms of the major indices, and I think we'll see more inconsistency than consistency. That's a little bit unnerving for investors, but I wouldn't be too alarmed in here, and I would focus very much on the buy low, sell high type of mentality. Now, that may sound like I'm talking about trading, which you may be doing or you may not, or on a medium-term trading basis. But the point I'm making here is don't chase anything on the upside in the stock markets. I think that's risky. Or if you do do it, knowing that those risks are there, and also to use a trailing stop to limit those risks. Now, also, in terms of buying opportunities, the good thing about a choppy market is that it will produce some frequent oversold conditions, and those are opportunities to nibble at the equities that you or funds that you actually like. So I think that's the strategy probably for the lengthy medium term. Overall, looking much further ahead, I think this is going to be a lengthy adjustment. I described it yesterday as an additional valuation contraction process. Well, that sort of occurred quite sharply here with some of these emerging markets, which have are not. Well, they're no longer overvalued. Go back to last May, and some of them were really quite overvalued, but not so in here today. And therefore, again, that makes them more suitable for a policy of nibbling on the weakness. What are likely to be the standouts, perhaps this year and beyond? Well, within Asia, hopefully China's recovery picks up a little bit more. That would be good for the global economy, and it would be good for the region here generally. Is that actually going to happen? I think it depends which sectors you're actually looking at. If you're looking at sectors of the Chinese market that cater to the consumer, they have done extremely well, and I think they're likely to continue to do pretty well. Other sectors, more chancy. The banks are cheap, if you can believe the valuations, but I would take them with a grain of salt because I think there are a lot of non-performing loans on those banks. So as far as I'm concerned with China, and I've been saying this, was saying this all last year, stay with the consumer sectors. And one of the best examples of that is you look at how that Atlantis China Healthcare Fund has actually performed. You just go in and look at the healthcare index within the Chinese market. It's done exceptionally well. So I think that's a obvious point, and really the consumer theme, the rising middle classes, that's sort of a good theme overall, and it's not really a deflationary theme, and a lot of people are talking about a deflationary Japanese style slump, or they worry about that. I don't think we're going to see much of that, and I don't think we're going to see that for Japan either. Japan's, I think, will be one of the more interesting stock markets again this year, as it was last year. I wouldn't expect the same gains because it did so incredibly well, matching Wall Street in U.S. dollar terms and considerably more in the devaluing yen terms. I think two of the potentially most exciting ones, I think, for Vietnam. I think is a standout. One of the reasons why Vietnam is attractive is that it got its currency devaluation in way early, whereas that's something that has hit a number of the other emerging markets, particularly the ASEAN group, fairly hard. I'm thinking about Indonesia, Thailand, and lesser extent, Malaysia, Philippines. So, I like Vietnam, more speculative. India could be very exciting. I've written a lot about that, so I don't need to talk a lot about that. But you've got a great central banker in Mr. Rajan, and you've got Narendra Modi, who will almost certainly, barring an accident, be the next prime minister. And he's a very economically savvy, charismatic, and forceful. And I think you probably do need it. We unquestionably need a fairly forceful government there in India to actually be effective. The big question mark will be the extent of the. Well, I was about to make a mistake there and say. Extent of the majority he gets. He's not going to get the majority. He'll win the election. I think the odds are overwhelmingly in favor of that right now, and I don't see that changing. But it would be a minority government, so he will need to form some sort of coalition. If he can form a reasonably like-minded coalition, certainly with possibly the people who are very much in favor of halting the corruption, and Narendra Modi is certainly in favor of that. That could be quite an effective government here overall. I think the Congress party, which is currently in power, I think they'll take an absolute beating, and deservedly so. But also, I think the electorate's tired of them after them being in power for such a long period of time. Okay. What else? What about these European markets overall? Well, I continue to give them the benefit of the doubt while the yields stay healthily down, the bond yields, that is. Mario Draghi is really pulling the strings here, and you couldn't have a better man in that position to do so. The European markets are not overvalued overall. I just hope that we get the governments within these European countries making some a little bit more capitalistic style policy decisions, cut out some of the bureaucracy. Of course, one's been hoping for that for 20 years, and it hasn't happened. But the crisis background of the last few years could really usher in at least a partial rethink, and I think that would be constructive. The USA, well, I think that American investors are probably overbought in the USA. Probably a lot of investors are somewhat overbought in the USA. That's understandable. But it may well lead to some underperformance in here this year. There's no evidence of that to date, not least given the rebound that we've seen in the last few days. But it's on higher valuations and generally, and so I would be a little cautious there. But on the much long, well, on the lengthy medium term and longer term basis, the US has some astonishing attributes that this service has certainly talked about over the last year and more. And the two obvious ones, which I'm sure you'll recall, are first an incredibly competitive energy position that is such a huge advantage overall. And you can really thank the fracking for that more than anything else. And the other one is that accelerating rate of technological innovation. Now that can and everybody can benefit from that, but it's the crucial point about the United States is that it's producing most of the breakthroughs. And you know, you go back 10, 15, 20 years, and I think people were feeling, I know they were feeling, that the U.S. technology lead was being eroded, and it was. And I can remember famously Lee Kuan Yew, I think it was towards the end of the last century or the beginning of this century, talking about, well, maybe the U.S. had one, that was the one area where it still led, maybe it had another 20 years. This all those long-term forecasts require some rethinking here, because the U.S. is just racing away. With that leadership, and I don't think it will shrug that off quickly, lose that quickly. And China, well, it's got its own problems, as we know. And Japan, well, Japan's in the early stages of recovery. Again, I think Japan ought to be a fairly exciting market. This year, but I've already mentioned that, haven't I? Okay, moving on. On a much longer term basis, I think before the end of this decade, we will see evidence that of what I feel will be that next secular bull market, which does follow these long valuation contraction phases. So we've seen the really heavy grim work in terms of valuation contractions. The two big bear markets of 2000, 2001, and then the 2008 slump. I don't think we're seeing anything close to that for a long time. But the good year that we had last year in stock markets pushed valuations up. So I think we see them come back down, pull back down, and choppy action, lower the valuations because gradual global GDP growth will continue and probably pick up a little bit over the next few years, and then that will pull everything in place. We'll have some pretty good evaluations on equities, and equities are in an ideal environment here with the technology. They benefit most from that technology, and then they benefit enormously from the much more open, more capitalistic world environment generally. And you know, you go back and look at the beginning in 1982 of the last secular bull market, and you know, what were we talking about? You know, the United States, a few other developed economies around the globe, Australia, Canada, but Canada, a very small population. We were talking about Japan, although it was still very much an emerging market at that stage. Well, now we've got this vast group of nations and peoples really throughout the world, and that virtually all of Asia is now in the capitalistic grouping, and the rest will probably before possible exception of North Korea before the end of this end of this decade overall. And so that big theme of the rising middle classes, that's something that's I think going to go on for a long, long time. And then the hopeless countries, and I put quotation marks around that on either side, hopeless countries. But look at the recoveries that we're starting to see and the growth that we're starting to see in Africa. And I think that will certainly continue. So it's quite exciting and interesting overall environment. And so you get the autonomies, which this service named and that we liked so much. Well, I think that they're going to continue to manufacture where they can do so most effectively. A lot of that is in the United States, but a lot of it is also local within the various countries where they are actually working, and then also selling where they get the highest overall return, and that will be in a great many different countries. And so contrast that with the difference at the beginning of the last secular bull market, where these and the bigger companies, the so-called, remember, the Nifty 50, well, they were largely domestic companies dealing mainly in their own country, and a little bit of activity in a few other Western economies. Now these are global powerhouses, the autonomies I'm talking about now. So that's a really very, very exciting development, and a profitable area to be when those shares are not overvalued. They became very overvalued in the fourth quarter of last year, but we've seen some healthy corrections so far, and no doubt we'll see some more healthy corrections in that sector. Okay, turning to long-dated government bonds. I would say we're in the very early stages of a bear phase. We have take the developed market bonds in particular, starting with mainly the U.S. here, and the others will follow that lead. We've seen the lows on yields, and I don't think I'll see those lows touched again in my lifetime. And we are now in the first consolidation above the base, to use the technical terminology, but meaning that we're in a medium-term consolidation ranging phase, and the next big push will be yields moving up from this 250 to 3 yield, 2.5 to 3 yield, rather, in the U.S. 10-year, and pushing up to 3.5, 4. And I think that will start before the end of this year. But the Fed will try to slow it up. But over the next few years, I think we will see those yields pushing up to 4%, 5%, 5% range. I don't think we're going to get any dramatic spikes to the upside. I don't think we're going to get any dramatic inflation problems in the major developed economies either. Partly because the global autonomy is very competitive. The robots are very competitive, so there's not a lot of scope for wage pressure in that type of environment. Okay, in terms of commodities, well, I talked about that CCI index earlier in this broadcast and illustrated that yesterday in my copy. And I think it's showing base development here. People have been very bearish of commodities. Back in 2007 and early 2008, they were very bullish and they pushed them to a high. We've had the opposite here in recent years. People have been really fairly aggressively short those commodities. I think those shorts are gradually coming out. That's something that's only really just started, and those shorts range from the grains and other agricultural commodities to the precious metals and in the industrial metals. And I think as the shorts will be coming out, to be a few more long positions established, that lifts prices somewhat. And the big story is that that demand will be picking up overall as well. Then, of course, with the agricultural commodities, you know, the weather is the key player. That's the really, really big variable in here overall. But I don't think many people. Or I don't think many regions are going to starve, at least not to the extent that we have seen in other decades throughout throughout history, and that's good news. And I think that the skill with which these crops are bred and raised is well, it's on a steady improvement curve overall. And that's good. I mentioned this because, you know, for as long as I've been in this business, and we're talking about going back to the mid-60s, people have been talking about mass starvation and running out of food supplies and so on. And well, this fortunately the species is a little bit more clever than that, and that's not happening. Just the opposite, in fact, producing more and more foods. Okay, what else to mention here in terms of currencies? We get some periodic choppiness here overall. I think the US dollar is in a actual base building phase, but I think it's going to stay right there, certainly for the lengthy medium term, because the US government will try to keep it down until US growth really is clearly stronger, considerably stronger. That long bearish phase that we saw for the US dollar is giving way to this has given way to this type 3 ranging time and size base formation type of development, and it'll produce a modest overall bull market for the US dollar. Troubled economies that get into balance of payments problems, well, then they'll have the occasional devaluations and plunges, as we always see overall. I think probably we will have less volatile currency environment than in the last century for the most part overall. I think that's probably quite likely, but it's a guess. I have to say, but behind that guess is that more of these economies are moving to a capitalistic economic model, whether it's democratic capitalism or command capitalism, and that's not going to change. And I think we that'll be one of the and then the open borders. I think that that factor will also help someone. And I think I've covered the major bases in here, so I'll just say have an absolutely fantastic weekend. More on Monday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.